and welcome to season 6, episode 3. I am here with two amazing and lovely individuals. We are live taping at my above average retreat, and I am super excited to introduce to you women that are going to be who you need to be and see on 2019. So let's go ahead and introduce yourselves.
Hi, my name is Lanisha Mohip of Mohip Financial Solutions. The best way for you to find me is on social media at Mohip Financial Solutions, or feel free to email me info@mohipfinancial.com.
Great.
Hi, I am Michelle Munoz, and I am creative director for social media influencer Beauty by Janelle. You can reach me on Instagram at beautybyjanelle_. That is my management page.
Awesome. So first, let's get a little bit into how did you become who you are?
Well, the way I came to where I am now is simply through pain, financial pain. So I was working for a large bank in the suburbs of Chicago, and they were downsizing all of finance. And I was literally sitting there one day like, something has to change. I can't keep doing this and be at risk of a layoff or a firing. And right before I got fired, my husband and I decided to do a financial planning and solutions business. And that's how we got started, simply finding pain in our own household and knowing that other people needed to have some type of resolution to their issues as well.
For me, I would say what brought me to this point is just striking out to try something different. I have been in the same position in my corporate job for in the corporate world for about 16 years. And I felt that it was time to just strike out and do something new. The young lady that I work with is a close friend of the family, and I wanted to try to see if I could help her bring more attention to her brand and what she is trying to show the public in terms of beauty and self-care and women's empowerment.
Awesome. So what I'm hearing is, even if you are in a painful area, or even if you're in an area where, hey, I've done something for so long, is it too late in the game to change? Is it too late in the game to try something new? That the answer is always, if there's a will, there's a way. And to just try. All it took was you reaching out to your family friend and she saying yes. And all it took was you deciding that, you know what? I don't want to be here. I don't like this feeling. I'm going to change it. So with change becomes a lot of different things. So in 2019, I hear that a lot of people are changing some things. What are some of the things that you're going to change this year to make sure that you have a better year than last year?
Oh man, I am changing being that person that's scatterbrained. Being, you know, having that squirrel mentality where you're interested in almost everything and not being able to focus. So in 2019, my intention is to be focused, strategic, and just not be so enticed by everything that's out there and available.
I love it. I think that a lot of times we as a brand are sometimes the face of our brand. We are a brand. So a lot of times you hear people like, well, I'm multifaceted. I want to do more than one thing. I don't want to be just siloed to this brand or to this thing. And I tell people this, yes and no. Yes, you can do more than one thing. But majority of the businesses that became who they became who they are because they did one thing really well, that was functioning, then that was automating, and then you can go to something. But it's really, really hard to build three businesses at the same time.
Yeah,
it's actually impossible, I feel, because you're not ever doing anything great. You're just doing a couple things mediocre.
Yeah.
Especially when you're a solopreneur. Like, we don't want to get a team, but we got these ideas and we trying to trademark them all. It's like, what happened? So I love that you're like, you know what? Let me calm down. I feel like that was my aha moment in 2018. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't want to be a Walmart.
Yeah. Yep.
I actually want to be like a Louis Vuitton.
Yeah.
I want to offer a couple of things with high quality, guarantee results, and be done. I don't want to be your one-stop shop. That's stressful.
Yep.
And people are mean that don't like to pay a lot. Some budgets be like little, and they be like, well, I want this. And I'm like, I can't.
No one ever questions the pricing of Louis Vuitton.
No.
That's your price? Awesome. This is what I'm, this is what my checkbook allows.
Absolutely. Michelle?
I would say that for 2019, what I want to focus on is really just more self-love and self-care. For me personally, I have always been kind of a selfless person, where anytime anyone needed anything from me, whether that was time, my conversation, you know, money, you know, friends and family, whatever anyone needed, I was just always there. Mm. And I've learned over the past like year or so that I need to focus on me. And it's okay for me to say no sometimes. It's okay for me to say, no, I can't go to brunch with you because I'd rather be at this retreat, doing something that is going to help me in goals that I want to accomplish. Or it's okay to not always be that shoulder for someone else. Sometimes you can kind of allow sometimes a negativity or just negative energy that other people are giving out to kind of affect you. And you, it might be like, you know, subconsciously affecting you. And so for me, it's like, I just really want to focus on me, doing what's best for me. And I don't think that that's selfish.
Yeah.
Or I'm not, and I'm not going to do it in a selfish way, but it's just more so just doing what's better for my mind, body, and spirit.
I love it. That makes me think of the book, The Year of Yes. I feel like you're like the year of no. And it's just as important, I feel. Like, once you don't feel bad for not showing up to things that you don't have to be at, like, oh my gosh, the world is so much easier. Because it was like, my mom always told me, like, there's always going to be another party. Mm-hmm. Like, you're stressing yourself out, trying to, like, worry yourself sick because you can't make it. And, like, next week, you'll be right back out. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. Mm-hmm. Let me calm down. So, I think that the year of no, just to figure it out. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but there's, like, this story of this lady that, like, gave to a homeless man. And she was like, how'd you get here? And he was like, by being too kind, by, you know, passing out bricks and my wall wasn't finished. And I'm like, and then when I needed somebody, when I needed help or shelter from the bricks that I gave, people were like, no.
Wow.
And I was like, that's interesting. I think that that means a little bit more within, like, I feel like our community, that a lot of times we, it's twofold. One, there's like this whole like, I don't want to be too wealthy because then that's going to affect my Christianhood, right? Weird. But that's how people feel. They're like, well, I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. And it's like, why can't I have both?
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the people that I'm give even though I'm not okay. Like, I'm barely surviving and living paycheck to paycheck, but I'm going to help you anyway because you're just a little bit lower than me. And it's like, let me just get myself together so I can help you. You know, Oprah can take care of me way more than, you know.
Exactly.
But it's because she's in a situation where she builds and it's sustained. And now she can give in a way that I can only dream of.
Mm-hmm.
But only because she's helped herself in a way that I can only dream of.
Definitely, yes. Sometimes you have to help yourself first.
Yes.
Before you can help other people.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing.
I love reverting back to the airplane. You know,
yes.
On the airplane, they tell you, put your mask on first before you help anyone. And I even tell clients that, like, you can't keep giving from an empty bank account.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're gonna drown. And then those folks you gave to, are they going to be there for you?
No.
So it's definitely something to question.
I love it. I think that's amazing analogy, and I think that's a great thing to bring into 2019. So one of the things that I talked about in my last episode was imposter syndrome and how I feel like everybody has it. So when I talked about my imposter syndrome was I felt like I had to have so many likes, 50,000 to be exact, before I could start like doing retreats and like doing stuff. Like, who told me that? That was something in my head, a number that I made up. Like, it just really didn't make any sense. However, choosing to push forward is me not letting my imposter syndrome win. Mm-hmm. And I'm choosing to do that with anything in 2019. If there's an idea in my head, I'm just going to push through and have it. We'll figure it out and it'll be fine. And I want to know, what are your imposter syndromes and what are some of the things that you're going to do to make sure that it doesn't have a hold on you in 2019?
I literally, within the past couple months, have experienced imposter syndrome. And the only reason is because I went to a retreat somewhat like this in the summer, and the host was stating that, you know, your corporate dollars has nothing to do with your social media dollars. So if, you know, whatever you've done in the corporate world, you know, people don't care about that on social media. Mm. So not having a following, just building up your engagement, you know, just becoming visible, that was intimidating. So it's like, okay, people are going to question me. Is that valid? Like, I had to overcome that. Like, no, you have 10 plus years of accounting experience. You have boatloads of degrees. You have the foundation, but you still need to push through those barriers that they call social media dollar worthy. So that's what I've been experiencing lately.
Well, I'm going to just tell you what I mentioned in my last episode was that the creator of Little, you know, the Marseille movie that's coming out, mm-hmm. I went to his Instagram. Guess how many Instagram followers he has?
How many?
4,700. Wow. So, okay. You know, moving on with that, right? Because when I saw that, then I was like, I'm having my retreat. Because I was like, because I was already following him because he's like, does Blackish and mm-hmm. all these things. So I'm like, if he don't have anything, then let me move on.
Yeah.
Because, yes, I don't have as many as I would like. We're growing every day. But I have valid corporate experience that some of these followers could wish, mm-hmm. you know? So let me just use what I have and make it for good versus trying to do stuff. Because I'm not interested in buying followers.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I don't want them to break my account. Like, no, thank you. It's just a risk that I can't. Because I see people doing it. So, yeah, I love it. And I'm glad that you overcame. And thank you for sharing, because I feel like so many people mm-hmm. feel that same way.
They're struggling silently.
We're looking at our follower, like our leaders, like we have to be her before we can do something. And it's like, no, they're who they are because they started.
Yeah, somewhere.
Somewhere, yes.
I would say that, I guess, not having experience would be my imposter syndrome. Because, like I said, I've been in, you know, corporate America basically for the last 16 years. And so what makes me, you know, be able to be a creative director for, you know, for someone who's, you know, focusing on being a social media influencer. And I think that, you know, for a while I toyed with the idea and I kind of helped her kind of, you know, in a little ways, but really didn't focus on it. And I said this year, I was like, you know what? No, I've had classes in marketing and web analytics, and I'm on social media all day, every day. Like, I think that, you know, with a little bit more research, we can figure this out and we can figure this out together. And you know, and we can just try. And if it works, you know, it works.
I love it.
And another thing, like, for this year, it's like, I'm all about manifesting as well. I'm all about what I'm putting out there and just not dealing with, like, the negative talk. So it's like, we have, like, she and I sat down and we set goals for the month. Like, yes, we're going to hit, you know, X amount of followers and X amount of YouTube subscribers. And I'm just speaking that. And I, you know, because that's what I want to happen.
Yes. So. Yes, I think that a positive attitude is half the battle in figuring out, okay, this is what I want per month. That's what I'm going to do per week. And I'm going to keep myself on schedule and I'm just going to do it and people will come because I believe in myself and I know that I can compete. Mm-hmm. I love it. So what is one of the things that you want to kind of work on yourself this year? Is there anything that you're like, this needs to be fixed in 2019?
I know for me, consistency is an issue. That's why I need to be intentional, which goes back to focusing on my why. And the reason why I'm not consistent, I haven't been consistent yet, is because my why isn't strong enough. And so if I go back a little bit deeper into why is it that I'm doing this, I find myself waking up at 5:30. Like, oh shoot, I could be doing this, this, and this. And the energy is created somehow to just get up and do what I know I need to do every single week, every single day.
I love it. So I think that that's something that a lot of our listeners can definitely take from. Figuring out what your why is so important, because a lot of times we start businesses, brands, or things out of an emotion. Mm-hmm. I got fired. I'm mad. I'm about to show them. Mm-hmm. Or someone said I couldn't do it, so I'm going to do it. But after you start figuring out your mission, your vision, and your core values, your why has kind of changed. Like for me, I started my brands, if we're going to go way back, because I was affected in a way that I didn't know I could be when Trayvon Martin was killed.
Oh, wow.
Right? Well, I can't stay in that area, or I will be in a black cloud. Mm-hmm. I had to change. Just because I jump-started it doesn't mean that that is going to be forever with me. Mm-hmm. I had to kind of evolve to I can actually help make a difference within people using the same things that I learned in corporate and breaking it down to popcornable, sustainable things that people can consume. So I feel you, and I think that once you get to that area, you're good. Because if not, then you're just kind of how we are when there's a sensation. Something's popular, we'll be on it for a little bit, and then it'll fizzle down, and then we're waiting for the next stream because our why is not there. Our why is just it's an emotion. So I love that. That is amazing. And we're working on today. We worked on our why and how we can sell to other people so that our why and their why aligns, which is going to make a better synergy. It's going to make for a better client, and it's going to make for a better sales pitch.
Awesome. I am working on this year, I think, balance. I am a single mom. I have a 17-year-old son. He's a student athlete, football, wrestling, rugby. So he's always on the go. There's always something to do. I have a very challenging job for my day job. And now I have this endeavor that I'm putting more time into. So I think that what I definitely have to work on is balancing all of that and making sure that I'm giving adequate time to all of those areas in my life. And then, not to mention, I do have family and friends that probably want to see me and talk to me sometimes too. So so I will be working on that.
So with balance, what does that mean?
So I think that, so it'll be like today I'm here and my son is at a wrestling tournament, so I'm missing that. So for me, it's like, so what am I going to do to kind of make up for that? Mm-hmm. So he and I will most definitely be doing something, tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah.
And then balancing the time with, I'm home and, unfortunately, you have to bring home, work.
Yes.
And so it's like, but I'd rather, and so whereas I would usually have done that, I would rather be working on things for my client, for Janelle, for Beauty by Janelle. So so now I have to figure that out, how I'm going to balance that and just really prioritizing.
I love it. I think that knowing that there is an issue is half the battle, because we're in such a grind mentality, workaholic mentality, that stuff is one, not healthy, and two, it doesn't help to grow. The goal should be to hire a team and have these automated processes and systems, not to be the one man show and be the quote unquote man or whatever. So I love that people are talking about balance, especially because that's not being kind of focused. It's kind of glorified, the lack of sleep and stuff. Mm-hmm. Even though when you don't have a lack of sleep, it can literally almost kill you. So it's what are you?
Definitely. Yes.
So I love that people are talking about that, and we're actually being realistic with our quote unquote how our life and our day to day week and day should actually be. Mm-hmm. I'm like, who started that 9-to-5 week?
Tell me about it.
We need to, because what happened before? How was it before?
Free labor.
I don't know how people went around with it, but I'm just like, there's a way.
But it's not even 9 to 5 anymore. It's 9 to 7. It's 9 to 8. You know, it's weekends.
It's 7. It's
a lot.
But if we really be real about it, through in our 9 to 5 day, are we truly 100% productive that entire time? Not really.
No, that's why they got us that long. Because they know it's 2 hours to goof around and 1 for lunch. Because sometimes when I work from home, I'm like, I can get a lot of things done within a short amount of time.
Yes.
Y'all are just literally playing with me.
Yes.
And making me do certain things. Mm-hmm. Like when I used to work in sales, like we would have to go, quote unquote, and be there. But a lot of times they're like, just call me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not even there anymore. Mm-hmm. I had to change my shift. Like the manager or the owner. Mm-hmm. So it's like we have this structure, but there's no room for like real life. Mm-hmm. Especially once you build relationships. Mm-hmm. They don't factor into those things, which makes us now fight for more of like a work-life balance because we're seeing, hey, even though this is how it was before, it doesn't mean that it's necessarily how it is. Yes. And I feel like majority of people are now starting to have a side hustle. So it needs to kind of be discussed within work life, or we're going to have a lot of like secret businesses, if I will say.
Definitely. Yeah.
There's so many people that I talk to that are like, well, I want to kind of be on LinkedIn, but I don't know if I should post that I have like my thing. And it'd be completely different. It's like, you can't post about crafting.
Right. Yeah, completely different.
You know, and they're like, no, blah, blah. And I'm like, that's something that is probably going to end with this generation.
I definitely sense the millennials shifting what traditionally happened in the workplace.
Yeah.
And I sense that companies will really have to bring a really great package. Millennials don't care about 401ks and pensions. Like, are you going to pay my student loan debt? Are you going to give me an incentive to contribute to your business socially on social media? Like, I feel like millennials are going to change it, and I think we should pat ourselves on the back for it.
I agree. But, I mean, I think that this is every generation has something that's changing. So I think that this is it because we're leaving from that, quote, unquote, not like sharecropper mentality where I work so much for so little.
Yeah.
And also that internal calculation, I gotta go.
Yeah.
I can't wait for that to be done.
Because
it's a game. I have to leave to come back to get what I'm paid for.
Yeah.
Because you got me when I was 18.
I truly believe they pay you so much to stay, and we do so much work until we get sick of them. So it's like this tug of war in an employee-employer situation.
Agreed. I love it. Okay. So I'm going to leave you guys with one final saying or one final comment. So within your tools, as you're building your brand, I think that one of the things that needs to be focused a little bit more than it has been in the past is definitely automation and how people are doing it. I think that we see so many of these quote unquote stories where they went kind of like overnight success. Now we know the success wasn't overnight, but I feel like what people aren't talking about is the team that they started to put in place to help them go overnight. We think that, like, one of my sayings that I hate is we have the same 24 hours as Beyonce.
Lies.
Beyonce got a team of 24. Mm-hmm. So you have 24 times 24. So it doesn't even make sense. And it's giving off this false narrative. And people are thinking they gotta work harder. And it's like, no, you need to outsource.
You need to work smarter.
Yeah, you need some automation tools to post for you. You need to schedule. You need some analytics to figure out what's happening. Mm-hmm. You need a hashtag finder. Mm-hmm. You don't need... you don't have the same 24 hours as Beyonce. So that was one of the things that I was like, this is such bad marketing. I'm surprised that her team didn't like shut that down, but whatever, she didn't make it. But it's like that one thing I think will change your trajectory once you figure out what it actually takes to grow and scale a business. And you either gonna do with the manpower, virtual assistants, automation tools, or all the above, and also like help with PR, actually pay a PR person and things like that, is really the tools that you need to grow, not to just work harder and be the only person creating posts and content and things like that, that doesn't equal anything. And I think that's where people are so frustrated. And once I realized that that was not the way to go, things just started like changing for me really overnight, because I was like, man, this is, why didn't anybody tell me? Mm-hmm. Y'all see me struggling. Mm-hmm. Like, why didn't anybody say anything? So I'm making it a point to make sure that's how people look. You're not growing because you're tired, you're overworked, and you need a team.
Yeah. I think it's super important for entrepreneurs to build into their budget ways to get tasks off of their plate that does not make you money. If Absolutely. It's not income producing, you shouldn't be doing it.
Absolutely. Like, we want to edit that website every day, and it's like, ooh, that's not going
to
help.
Do you really want to edit it? No.
Like, I just want to fix this. That's what they be doing. I feel them, but it's not revenue generating, like you said, which should be the main thing. And yeah. If you don't want to do that, then hire someone to help you do it, to do those cold calls or to make those LinkedIn DMs or those IG DMs to get on the phone call to figure out what's going on and close the deal, or to send to a brand a media kit or whatever you're looking for. Well, thank you so much, ladies. One more time, your name, your business, and where people can find you.
Lanisha Mohip of Mohip Financial Solutions. I'm on social media at Mohip Financial, or shoot me an email at info@mohipfinancial.com.
And I am Michelle Munoz, creative director for Beauty by Janelle, social media influencer. I can be reached on Instagram at beautybyjanelle_. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, ladies. Yes, and I will see you guys in the next episode.